Hey guys, happy Friday. Welcome to another episode of Right Out Politics. My name is Ariana Mendez, your host, coming to you from Miami, Florida. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome. I'm an attorney in the South Florida area. I'm a political commentator, a conservative one, and a millennial. And we bring you news from a conservative millennial perspective every week. And today's episode is all about election and what's going on the local level here in Miami-Dade, specifically in Florida's District 26. A very important district here in South Florida, formerly held by Congressman Corbello, now held by a Democrat. And two Republicans are vying for this GOP nomination this year for that district. So you have Mayor Jimenez and Omar Blanco, two very different candidates on the GOP side running for that nomination. And it's definitely an interesting race. And here at Right Out Politics, we really like to focus in on stories that matter to you. So we wanted to invite Omar Blanco on the show to hear a little bit more about his story, his candidacy, and also there's a special surprise at the end of the interview for you guys. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Mr. Blanco, welcome to Right Out Politics.
Thank you, Ariana. It's a pleasure to be here with you and with your listeners. Fantastic job on the podcast, and appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
No, definitely. We're really excited to have you on. November, it's going to be a very interesting election, a lot of moving parts this year. So you're running to be the GOP nominee in Florida's District 26?
Yes, that is correct.
So let's start with a bit of biographical questions. Tell me about yourself, your family, your values. Let's get to know you.
Well, thank you, Ariana. Yes, I'm born and raised here in Miami. I was born in Miami Mercy Hospital here. I've lived here all my life. My parents came from Cuba 58 years ago. I'm currently 48 years old. I'm married to the love of my life. We've been married 19 years. She's a teacher in the public school system here in Miami-Dade. I am currently a firefighter lieutenant with Miami-Dade Fire, and we're raising our two children down here, Kevin, who's 17, and my daughter, who is 13. We love, not only do we love our community, we love where we live, but we love our country. And my reason for getting involved in this race was that, like many of you, we see what's happening. We see what's, the turmoil in some of our cities across the nation. I think we need to get back to our basic values. And listen, I talk to people who, a lot of the voters in the area, and I talk about, listen, my approach is quite simple. You know, I believe that we need collaboration and common, we need collaboration and common sense. I'm a guy who believes that you honor God, and at least in my house, my family, my campaign, we honor God. We love our family. We defend our country, and we serve others. And that's my approach. You know, we up in Washington, there's been such a disconnect with what's happening locally, in not only here in Miami, but just our district itself. You know, the community does not feel that there is adequate representation, that our representatives aren't present. And so my objective and my goal is to go up there in Washington and help legislate and bring down the funds that we need to keep our community safe and our economy growing. And I'll be present. When I'm not in Washington, I will be here in the district and meeting with the local leaders, very much the same way I've done so in this campaign. I've been up and down this district, which, as you know, it runs from 8th Street all the way to Key West. It's a very long stretch in the Florida Keys, but that doesn't mean that any corner of this district is less important than the other. And so I'm committed to doing that in my campaign as an example of how I expect to be as the next congressperson down here in District 26.
So you mentioned that you were a firefighter. Why a firefighter?
Why am I a firefighter? Well, if you ask my mom, it's because as a little kid, I always wanted to help people. You know, I was in the private sector before I did technology, security, IT security in the private sector for years. But when I got my high school degree, I went to fire college. I wanted to be a firefighter. I actually wanted to be a paramedic, you know, and fell in love with the whole aspect of helping people, you know, saving lives and serving service. And so I ended up trying to apply. And as you might know, it's difficult to get in the fire department, but I kept working in the private sector, did very well. I was a director of technologies for several firms in South Florida. And then, but I kept applying to be a firefighter. Interestingly enough, I remember when when I finally got the job, I was 30 years old, 30. And I remember my boss, the CEO of the organization, came to see me and said, "What are you doing? You're risking your life. You've got a great job. We love you here." And I said, "There's something that I need in my life, and that is to serve others. And to be able to do so was such a great, it's such a great honor." And so that's how I got into it. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world for a higher calling to serve. And that's why I'm with you here today, because after being a firefighter, paramedic, and a lieutenant for over 16 years and having served as the president of the firefighters down here in Miami-Dade and representing them and our community in Washington and Tallahassee, I felt this was a wonderful opportunity. And I got to be honest with you, Ariana, it's been such an incredible blessing. We have gotten to know so many wonderful people in our community. We've had the opportunity to see things from a different perspective, quite often, in speaking to the voters in the district. And I'm excited. We're building momentum. Our grassroots campaign has really taken off. And with 2 weeks left, we are going to keep pushing until August 18th.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for your service to our community. Something like that, being a firefighter, putting your life on the line for people that you are not related to, do not know on a personal level, takes a special kind of leadership and a special kind of integrity. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. And my guys and girls appreciate it in the firehouse. You know, they, it often in our job, you know, we run a call, we come back and we get take the next call. And there's always that, man, I wonder how that person is doing and what that, you know, whatnot and the other. And not often do we get, the folks to come back.
Absolutely.
No, I appreciate recognizing their hard work and sacrifices. And it's, like I said, not just for me, but for them. It's an honor to do so.
Absolutely. So why are you a Republican?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I registered when I was 18 years old, over 30 years ago. And I mean, for me, it was quite simple. You know, I remember talking to my dad right before and asking him about his, you know, and I knew he was a Republican and whatnot. He just, you know, he kind of looked at me and says, "Hey, listen, I will be a Republican for the rest of my life." And a lot of the values that, you know, I was raised on were just about, you know, being, honoring this country, honoring our flag. When my father came from Cuba 58 years ago, he was just a kid. And to hear the stories, not only that my dad tells me today, but that my grandfather used to tell me about the socialism and communist regime in Cuba that forced them out, really impacted me all my life. You know, listening to my dad tell the story when they landed here in the United States, my grandfather, you know, got on his, you know, down and talked to my dad and said, "Hey, listen, now we're American. We're going to be American and we're going to be grateful for what this country has provided this our family." And those are things that I forget. So when I was registering, I already knew that I wanted to be a Republican, but listening to my dad talk about the whys just reaffirmed to me that I was on the right track. And like my father, I will be a Republican till the very last day, my very last days. I think that, you know, we have to strengthen our conservative values and maybe not strengthen. We really have to talk about those things and start to unite this country. I think a lot of the misleading information and all the everything going on in the media has really caused our country to be divided. But as you can see, in recent years, I think, you know, through our, you know, a lot of the efforts, people are starting to see that there is an empowerment by the Republican Party of our community and our citizens. So in such a way that, you know, they don't want you to depend on them. They want to empower you to defend for yourself. And there are things that we need to do as a country to, and God willing, as Republicans in leader in a leadership role, when we flip the House back to the majority, to embrace our communities, not turn people away. So that's why I'm a Republican, and that's why I'll always be a Republican. And God willing, I'll be serving in that capacity for the community and for our country.
I think a lot of our listeners, especially in the Miami area, can relate to having, you know, a parent or a grandparent being a very strong conservative, and that being a very formative part of their political identity. So that was definitely the case for me. So I can definitely relate to that story. a lightning round for you. So it's basically going to be a few policy questions, and just give me one or two sentences of your opinion on it. So we're going to start. How do you rebuild the economy after COVID-19?
Did you say how?
Yes. How do we rebuild the economy after COVID-19?
Well, the first thing we need to do is stop allowing forcing businesses to shut down. We've got to, now more than ever, these companies or restaurants and other small businesses are need a lifeline, and they don't necessarily need, you know, while some need money, that's not all they need. They need the opportunity to keep their doors open and serve our community and follow the guidelines that are provided to do so. You know, we've got to make sure the money that the government provides local communities is properly allocated and to where most needed. This isn't an opportunity for people to take advantage of our government. This is an opportunity for our people to survive through this pandemic and make it through the end of this. I mean, this too shall pass. And now more than ever, we need to be focused on long-term, not just a short, quick fix.
I agree. Should Miami-Dade reopen schools in the fall?
Absolutely, 100%, without a doubt, have that opportunity be given to the families, the parents who need to go back to work. My wife's a school teacher, as I mentioned, and she is prepared to go back to work when school opens. You know, there are certain circumstances, whether they be health-related, financially related, or whatever the case may be for every individual. I think now more than ever, there are those opportunities for a hybrid system. But listen, our children need discipline, need structure. And unfortunately, in this hybrid system that we were forced into last year, there were a lot of issues that needed to be addressed. I believe that our school system will address those, but long-term, I believe being in a classroom and having a teacher teach our children, educators educate our children, is the right way to go. And I will do my part to help make that a reality sooner than later.
What is your position on immigration?
Immigration, here's my position. Immigration needs to be fixed. No one has the solution. We're gonna keep talking about this 4 years from now if we don't make tough decisions. And when I mean tough decisions, we've gotta put, advance our immigration policies where they're not perfect the day one. They will not be perfect day one. But, you know, we need to secure our borders. We need to make sure that we screen those who come into this country to know that they're not here to take advantage of our generous and humanitarian efforts here to help those less fortunate. But they're here to, you know, help serve our country, pay taxes, be a productive member of a society. I think those things are important, but because there is so much divide on this issue and so much, such a force against sitting down at a table and addressing these issues in parts and start moving this agenda forward, I think we're going to be stuck within for the next 4 years in the same position we are today. So one of my top priorities is to go to Washington and have the serious conversations and say, hey, listen, it's not going to be perfect. It is not going to be perfect day one, but in 4 years from now, I certainly want it to be better than it is today.
What is your approach to dealing with tyrannical regimes of Cuba and Venezuela?
Well, zero tolerance. You know, when people talk about communism, I say communism needs to be treated like terrorism. Socialism needs to be treated like terrorism. Now, listen, we've seen and experienced Cuba and what it has not only what not only did to families back 50 plus years ago, but what it's done long term to the country. You know, many Cubans fled to Venezuela, and when Venezuela started with their socialist and communist views and movement, many of the Cubans in Venezuela started warning Venezuelans, hey, listen, you need to be careful. This is not good for the country. Well, look where Venezuela is today. Look where Nicaragua is today. Look where many of these countries are headed to. And I believe that what you're seeing down here in South Florida are immigrants who came to this country fleeing those regimes and now warning Americans of the very same thing that that they did in Venezuela. You know, a lot of the folks who live in this country need to understand that, you know, these things all sound promising. They'll make it, they'll make it a pretty picture for you. But long term, it is will be the end of our country as we know it. So we've got to fight those ideologies because it really is contrary to everything this country was founded on and what has made us so successful over the last 200 plus years.
Yeah. So let's switch now to the dynamics of the GOP primary. So you and Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez are competing for that Republican nomination. There's some polls out there that show that Mayor Jimenez would actually, according to those polls, make the race competitive against the Democratic incumbent. Why are you the better option for the GOP?
Well, let's just start by saying that I don't believe my opponent is as much of a Republican, you know, as we need in Washington. And listen, I want to say this about my opponent. He's just my opponent. He's not my enemy. I know him and have worked with him for many years. But I know a couple things. One is he openly endorsed, said he was going to support and vote for Hillary Clinton in 2016. And that is alarming to me. You know, we're in a time and age where, you know, we need to be firm in our stance and we need to make sure that, that we make decisions not based on what's best for me, but what's best for us. Put the we before the me. And I felt that that was a failure on his part. I mean, right now, he's closed restaurants down in Miami-Dade because of, you know, the COVID possibilities of it adding to the COVID pandemic. But in our neighbors to the north and the south, both allow indoor dining. And that to me, it does not reflect where we need to be as a country, let alone down here in down here locally. You know, we have 34 municipalities down here in Miami-Dade, and the money that came from our federal government is there's an issue with how that money is being dispersed with 34 municipalities. In fact, 34 mayors have openly, and I don't know if you saw this, openly put out a press conference with concerns to how this money is being allocated to them. And my problem is, if you can't collaborate with 34 mayors, how are you going to collaborate with 434 of your peers in Congress? So I do believe that we have an opportunity to and a responsibility once we win this seat in November to make this country, but we're not doing so locally. How can we expect that in return when in Washington? And those are just my some of my issues. You know, Washington has a 20% approval rating. Very similar to the approval ratings my opponent has here in Miami-Dade. I think he has a 30%. And how do we expect things to change if we can't, how do we expect things to change by sending the same type of people up to Washington? I think as a public servant, you know, I'm not a career politician. As I tell people, I'm a committed public servant. And that's why I'm going up to Washington to represent and reflect the families that live in this district.
So you are correct. Jimenez did come out and support Hillary Clinton in the last cycle. So let me ask you outright, because this is sometimes controversial for candidates to answer directly. Do you support President Trump, and will you vote for President Trump in November?
Thank you, Ariana, for asking that question. I'm not afraid to answer the tough questions, and I appreciate them. I'm voting for President Trump this year, just as I did in 2016. you know, in 2016 or prior to 2016, it's funny, I talked to a lot of people, a lot of Republicans as I'm going around, and I say to them, hey, listen, let's be honest. In before the 2016 election, most of you were supporting Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush. They're Florida folks. We know them very well. And, you know, not that we didn't like President Trump, but I think most people were just, you know, looking at the number of candidates in the Republican Party and wanting to make sure that Hillary Clinton wasn't the next president. And so it's interesting to me that I think most people, when Trump showed his poll numbers were less than Hillary, I think a lot of people were just not willing to vote for Hillary and voted for Trump, even though they weren't sure, although he was a great businessman, how he would be as president. But they gave him that shot. And I believe that he's done more in his 3.5 now to 4 years as our president than many of the presidents before him. So I believe he's going to win. And I believe he's going to win because he's provided this country with the results, promises kept. And, you know, a lot of people tell me as I knock around the door, they're like, hey, you know, I'm not a big fan of his tweets. And I said, look, nobody's perfect. The fact of the matter is that we've got a president that defends this country, honors his God, loves his family, and serves and is serving our country. So, you know, as I mentioned before, those are my four pillars, and that's a great start for me. So I hope to be elected as your next Congress person here in South Florida in District 26. You know, not to always defend the president, but my first priority is to represent District 26, but certainly not to allow for the sabotaging and attacks and just outright disrespect that we've had from the far left. I will stand alongside many of those who have stood to ensure that, you know, the president is and this country is able to move forward for the betterment of the people. And that's what I will be doing, God willing. And so, yes, going back to your question, I have no reservations in saying that I support our president and that I support our governor, Governor DeSantis, who signed a piece of legislation that I worked on last year. And it was one of the highlights of my life because I lost some friends of mine to cancer in the fire service. But I had the honor of having Governor DeSantis and Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez stand with him as he signed Senate Bill 426 from our Senator Anitara Flores that will provide firefighters with coverage for cancers that are out, that are medically proven to be caused because of the job. So
what kind of race would you, what kind of strategies would you use in your race against the incumbent? Would you try to hold her accountable? Like, what would be your focus in the campaign?
My focus is about having firm, a debate. Obviously, firm positions on the issues, but more importantly, respect. You know, I think that, you know, listening to my opponent talk to Bill Barr, the Attorney General, the other day on the Judiciary Committee was not a person who holds that position with great respect. I mean, I don't know if you saw it or know what I'm talking about.
But yeah, I did.
Our police officers to what? What was happening in Portland, who are protecting, you know, the city and protecting the communities to the Venezuelan regime, was just an insult to those men and women who are sacrificing their lives for the betterment. I've had the pleasure of working alongside, you know, our police officers. And I got to tell you, I've been in both situations when they've been there to save my life and when I've been there to save theirs. And, you know, it's easy for people to judge who have never been in the position to have a gun put pointed in front of them. And I tell you, we need as a country to return to our fundamental, you know, beliefs that law and order is important in this country. I mean, I support the First Amendment and the ability for people to protest peacefully, just like I support our Second Amendment. But I certainly believe that we need to be supporting and, you know, appreciating the great work that our men and women in law enforcement do. And I'll be sure to stand with them in all of them. Now, when things happen, when mistakes happen, as did with the George Floyd situation, that was a travesty, and that should never happen. And we need to hold ourselves, and we do, at least in police and fire, we hold ourselves to a very high level. You know, we make sure, hold ourselves accountable. But we certainly know that that is not the norm. That is an issue that should never happen ever again. But certainly should not be a reflection of the amazing work those brave men and women do.
What would you tell a voter right now in your District 26 who may really like what you said in this podcast, but is still on the fence? What would be the last thing you would tell them?
I would tell them that, you know, if we want not only to flip this seat in November, but we want to do so with the very same values that we all share as conservative Republicans. And I am your, I'm the guy that you should vote for. I really believe that we are in a very unique time in our nation's history. And we can really affect a change that I think we all want in our country at the highest levels of government. But we're going to have to be firm and prepared to put the work in. I will outwork, and I've said this always, both my primary and general opponents. I believe that we will win. I've got a very common sense approach to how we address issues, but yet understand the inner workings of our government to be able to get the work done on behalf of the people. My opponent is in the primary has been an administrator, and even then, as recent, some of the decisions he's made has been not in line with those very values that I talk about, that we talk about. So, you know, I hope that to earn their support and vote, and it's my promise and commitment to always do as I say. Everything I talk about, my support for pro-life, my support for the Second Amendment, I will continue to hold those I want to be held accountable for those words. So I have no issue with going up and representing the very values I believe most of our Republican voters in District 26 hold very high.
So if people want to learn more about you, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, so our website is omarblanco.com. My Facebook is Blanco for Congress. I am a grassroots campaign, but we certainly are prepared for the next 2 weeks to be continue to be laser focused. We've knocked more doors than my opponent. We have certainly outworked my opponent in the primary and for that much the general. And hey, look, feel free to send us an email. My office number is 305-677-0307. And send us an email. Send me an email. I respond to all of them. And, if I can't respond because the questions, there's 30 questions, I usually pick up the phone and just call that person. but that's what we're prepared to do. I think it's important that people do their homework and research. Those who are... there is pictures of me with Andrew Gillum that have been circulating the internet, and I'd love to address that issue before I go. And that is that I was in a room honoring our African American firefighters as president of the firefighters last year. I was there and was asked to take a picture. There were several people in the picture, one being the president of the African American firefighter group, the progressives. So I tell you that that's being used to discredit me. That's to make it seem that I am not a Republican, but nothing's farther from the truth. You know, I think a picture that's cropped and everybody's taken out is just a desperate attempt by others to win their own race. And so what I will tell you is when I was in the room and somebody said, let's take a quick picture, I'm not going to turn around and run out of the room. I was there. I was talking. And if I'm able to talk to someone and have a conversation, even though the conversation was how much we disagreed on policy, I have no issue taking a picture. And, I would just wish the full picture would have been shared with the people in the room. So, you know, those are the kind of things that people use to discredit, but that's politics today. You know, so I am... I'm willing to answer all the tough questions and really have a discussion about where we need to go as a nation. where we need to, what we should expect from our elected officials. And yes, I also support term limits in Congress and in our, and will do so proudly. I signed up with an agreement saying that I would support that bill. Why? Because I do believe that, you know, we are, while we're seeing a lot of division amongst our country, we're also seeing a lot of groups, as even your podcast, Ariana, are coming together to really fight for what this country stands for. And so I'm prepared to do so, and do so by leading by example, as I have in my career in the fire service. You know, Trey Gowdy says, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. Go ahead.
No,
finish
Trey
your
Gowdy
thought.
Said, yeah, Trey Gowdy said, if you want to change the way Washington is working, you have to change who you send. And that's important. That's important. We need to send folks who have been in touch with the community. I walk into doors, people's homes every day. I see the struggles. We talk about the struggles. And I tell you, I just got off shift this morning at 7 a.m. this morning. And that I will continue to do, God willing, until I get elected, and I will serve that very community, those very people at the highest levels of government, to ensure that their safety is protected, their lives are protected, and the future of their families are protected.
I would like to add that picture, the only thing that picture shows is that you had a life before politics. Because if you're a leader in your profession and you're out there shaking hands, making deals, making things happen for the people that you work for, that just means that you are a bona fide professional. That doesn't take away your conservative credentials.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And unfortunately, we need to stop politicizing every situation, from pictures to our COVID-19 pandemic. You know, there's a lot of, it seems like no matter the issue, there's a political twist in it. And we need to just get back to being about taking care of one another. We need to get back about making sure that the issues are about the health and safety of our communities, you know, keeping our economy strong, and not constantly make it a political stunt to garner support. You know, my name is Omar Blanco. I am going to be the same person tomorrow that I am today. And if I learn something new about an issue that I didn't know before, I will be the first one to discuss it with the community and bring it to light. You know, we are up in Washington to represent. That means we need to go down and be present and tell our communities about what we're finding, what the issues are, and how to best make a decision. So that's how I've run my campaign, and that's how I will run my office as your next congressperson, God willing.
Before we let you go, I want to let you know that Right Owl Politics will be endorsing you for this primary.
Thank you.
We believe you're the best choice to run against the Democratic incumbent, and you're the best conservative choice. You're a true conservative, and we believe that you would do the job well and bring conservative principles to Washington.
Thank you, Ariana. It means a lot to me, and it also means a lot to me that you reached out to give me this opportunity to speak to our voters. You know, it's my commitment to you in return that, you know, I want to come back and anytime, hopefully, that you'll have me. But more importantly, as you continue to do a great job in your podcast, that we'll be able to have this podcast up in Washington, D.C. As your next congressperson, God willing.
Awesome. And you'll have an open invitation to the show anytime you want to come on to talk policy, please do. And with that, I want to thank you again for being on the show. And do you have any final words?
No, I again, thank you again for the opportunity. God bless, you know, you and your listeners. And let's continue to fight for this country and protect the very American values that have given us so much. So thank you again, and look forward to coming back soon.
Thanks, Omar.
So guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Right Owl Politics. It was a pleasure to have Omar Blanco on the show, and the endorsement is a sincere one. Right Owl Politics is a place where we like to bring new ideas and new approach to politics, and we need people that have common sense, that are smart enough for the job, and that understand that if you're going to pitch yourself as a conservative, you actually have to mean it. Actions speak louder than words. And I think Omar Blanco is a man who has shown he has integrity, He has devotion to public service. Any person who dedicates their lives to running into fires is a person worthy of respect and recognition. And his job is not easy, and now he wants to take on an even harder job. So I live in District 26, so that's my choice. What's yours? Do your research, do your homework. And if you have any questions, come back to this podcast and listen to Mr. Blanco. He's the right man for the job, and he would be an awesome candidate against the Democratic incumbent and an even better congressman. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Remember, we're not your dad's political news show, so spread the word. We're on Instagram, Facebook. Our podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. And we have new episodes every Friday. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for making this show a success. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one, guys.